Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the program, everybody. It is Monday, January 31st, 2011. It is hard to believe that we are almost through. We're closing the door on January this very day. What a crazy day. It's off to a crazy start already. And for many of you who have been watching the news, and there's been a number of you listening, trying to get writing me and saying, what's the effects of Egypt going to be, and what's going on in Egypt? What's that going to be doing to us? We're going to have Joe Farr on in a minute talking about rates and updates, and, of course, Alice Alvey giving us all the good information about what's going on, the traffic report. Special guests today are Dino Lack, with Vice President of Wholesale Support in Wells Fargo Mortgage. But he's coming to us representing the Future Mortgage Leaders Group, along with his partner in the group, partner in crime in the group, partner in reporting, is Jamie Kors, who's president of Alliance Funding out in Alliance Financial out in Phoenix. I was just out there last week with Jamie and her team and her partners in the business. What a joy that was. Glad to have both of them on the program. We're going to be hearing from them as they continue to expand on the report that they gave while part of this last year's project related to the Future Mortgage Leaders Program and their report directly diving into issues related to independent mortgage bankers. So for many of you, you're going to want to download this and listen to it. It's a great deal of content, and today we're going to be getting further into that report. Also, I want to say a special thank you out to so many that are listening to the program on a regular basis. Our audience continues to grow. We're thankful to so many of you that are passing the word around, and we encourage you to continue to do so. Tell your trade associations about it. And we have now added a lot of feedback on this. We've added a new segment at the end of the program talking about technology, the tech update. And synonymous with mortgage technology is a guy by the name of Tony Garitano. And we've got him on at the end of the program, towards the end of the program, to give us another important update of all that's going on with technology. We're excited about that. So thank you to our sponsors, DMD, Rob Katz, and the folks there at Del Mar Data Track, as well as PMI, and our partnership with so many publications, Tony's publication, as well as the National Mortgage Professional, Andrew Berman, and his whole group. We thank you all for being a part of this and making this such a success. Without further ado, let's get off to Joe Farr and say, Joe, what is anything out there going on that could we have more going on internationally that could be impacting us? But a lot of people are writing me, Joe, and saying, Dave, this seems to be really kind of, what could this do to our interest rates? So take it away, Joe. Give us an update.
Yeah. Well, we saw last week what it can do. Last Friday, we saw a nice little flight to quality. I say it's nice. The stock market sold off, which was not good. But at the same time, MBS prices improved about a half a point during the day on Friday, all in reaction to the turmoil going on in Egypt. The uncertainty that results from any sort of disruption in geopolitical or economic circumstances is enough to cause a flight to safety. And fortunately, the world still considers U.S. Treasuries and in the U.S. Safe investments. So yep. We saw that. We saw a demand for MBSs drive prices higher, rates lower, and much of that came from at the expense of the stock market, in that there was a sell-off in the stock market. But so far today, some of that has reversed. I guess time always creates a little more rational thought. And over the weekend, even though there's still a lot going on, and there's still a lot of this thing to be determined, final results to be determined as to what's going to happen. At this point, there's more of a wait and see attitude. We've seen the stock market reverse a little bit. We're back up 50 on the day, and we've seen MBS prices get back a little bit of the gain on Friday, although not a lot. We're still only down just a little bit from where we ended the day Friday. So, these world events how do you anticipate this? How would you have known that things were going to spark so much on Friday and then not turn around? So anyway, it's one of those events that it's a world market, and it's causing MBS prices has caused MBS prices to improve just a little bit.
What so, is some of the other things going on today? There's a number of things coming out today, aren't there?
Well, one of the big things, you know, inflation is something we talk about a lot, and obviously it's one of the, it is the driving force for what mortgage-backed security prices and yields are. This morning, the PCE, the core PCE inflation measure, which quite frankly is about as important as the CPI, if not more so, it came in at a very tame 0.7% increase over the year. All right, that's very low, and certainly underneath what the Fed would say is a comfortable level. Now, just on the other side of that, though, one of the measures that comes within the Chicago PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, is called the prices paid component. It, too, is a measure of inflation, and it came in much higher than expected. Yeah, we're seeing. One of the drivers of the problems in Egypt, you know, it's not the cause, but certainly was reason for unrest, is the rising food costs in Egypt, and that's maybe they're hungry enough to where they're getting out in the streets and saying I want change, but the rising food costs are impacting economies across the world, and we tend to measure inflation without them. And it's kind of hard to say, well, you know, people aren't experiencing increasing costs when you try to back out such an important component, both food and energy. So inflation is a concern. Recent measures in the U.S. Have indicated the core, the non-food and energy costs are not rising much. But, you know, across the world, the food and energy costs are rising. If the unrest in Egypt continues, you can expect energy costs to go up even higher. I think oil went above $100 a barrel today, and that's as a result of the tensions in Egypt.
Yep. What about last week?
Yeah, last week was really kind of quiet, given how much important information came out during the week. The Fed meeting announcement occurred, and there were absolutely no surprises in that. We saw the Treasury auctions all received strong demand, which was comforting and helped the market. GDP came out. It was a little bit lower than expected. But fortunately, most of the reduction in GDP or the miss had to do with how much government spending was going to be. It was anticipated. Government spending represented a smaller portion of GDP, and it was almost offset by increasing or improving private sector consumer spending. And so, that's what it takes in order for this to be a sustainable recovery, is we can't count on the government intervention and government spending in order to grow the economy. So that was all a good thing. New home sales, pending home sales exceeded expectations. Now, granted, expectations are low, but it's nice that we're exceeding expectations.
When you expect nothing, you get some slightly more than nothing.
That's right. And so, all in all, it was a week that improved in the end due to the Friday rally due to the events in Egypt. But all in all, prior to that, it was a pretty quiet week.
Other than week, one guy just texted me and said, "What do you mean? I thought you were talking about last week. Friday's a part of last week." Yeah, it seems like a bit of bled over into what's going on. Let's talk about what's coming up this week.
Yeah, jobs report this week, Friday, 8:30 Eastern time, expecting 150,000 jobs to be announced. And ironically, ADP, which is going to come out on Wednesday, also has $150,000 job expectation. It's odd that those two are in sync like that. But we'll see. ADP's been has been a market mover of late, but it's also been way off base. So, people still give it some credence, but it hadn't earned it, quite frankly.
Yep.
ISM comes out tomorrow, and
help our listeners to understand what ISM is again.
It's the Institute of Supply Management. It's a measure of manufacturing activity. It's similar to the Chicago PMI, but sort of on a broader
broader
look,
scale.
I mean, Chicago PMI is just the Chicago area. ISM is a much broader look at the manufacturing activity. And then, yeah, the market's just going to keep a close eye on what's happening
in Egypt.
In Egypt and elsewhere. So, keep...
stay tuned in. And, of course, if they had your system, which you're going to hear more about in just a minute, they would be able to be getting the immediate impact of what's going on. Thank you, Joe, so much for bringing us the report each and every other week. We appreciate it, especially the economic data. And I'm emailing back and forth to Doug Duncan, the chief economist for Fannie Mae. He's going to be coming on as a guest. We're just trying to nail down some dates, so he'll help kind of add further color into it. But you do such a great job bringing it to us each and every week. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. I just got a nice post, Joe. You'll love this. They said, you know what's so nice? Joe just has this calm voice. So even if he says, yeah, things are blowing up in Egypt, you know, the market's tanking, I mean, he just says it such a way, folks, that it's just calm. I love that nature about him. And like one guy says, you know what? You run the program. I love your energy business. Like he had one too many cups of coffee. So the other person I get a lot of feedback on is Alice, our next segment upcoming on the traffic report, all that's going on, the legislative update. They said, you know, I can't wait to meet Alice at one of the conferences where she's speaking. You know what? She brings us all this bad news of this tsunami of new regulation coming on us, but she does it in such a nice way. How can you get mad at her? So you know, no one wants to kill the messenger, Alice. They all love hearing your report. They don't always like what you have to say. So bring us what's the latest, what's going on, what should we be looking at?
Well, you know, as usual, we have a laundry list here as Congress is starting to get rolling. We have some bills that were posted last year now have to get reintroduced. So that's what we're starting for you, is kind of getting that new list as some of the old ones are getting dusted off and reintroduced. So the latest new bill is Fannie and Freddie and the Federal Home Loan Banks being required to be subject to the Freedom of Information Act. So this is House Bill 463. So it's a reintroduction of trying to ensure that there is, you know, lots of transparency to know what Fannie and Freddie are up to, especially while they're under conservatorship. We're also watching, there's a forced refinance provision bill for Fannie and Freddie. This is House Bill 363. It was introduced at the beginning of this year. And this is the one that was formerly called the Housing Opportunity and Mortgage Equity Act. It requires Fannie and Freddie to create a program for qualified mortgages. And ultimately, as you read through it, the big kicker to it is that they wouldn't be able to require an appraisal. It's the idea of trying to get Fannie and Freddie more actively involved in some of the opportunities for customers to refinance, but knowing that they're underwater. So we'll see how that works. That has a few more co-sponsors on it, but nothing really getting a ton of steam as of yet. There's Congress out there looking to try and extend that or reintroduce and restart that first-time home buyer tax credit. So that's House Bill 330. Now, our rules, we have some big rules we have to watch out for still. We are certainly still watching the unfolding of the loan officer compensation. This is still Regulation Z, a final rule that's been out there for quite some time, effective for applications April 1st. The loan officer can't be paid based on the terms of the loan. And we are now seeing where companies have gotten their plans in draft. You should see over the next couple of weeks more rolling out concrete where we'll now be able to compare notes. I can't stress enough to everybody, no two are the same. You can't say, you know, this plan works great at all companies. There's lots of different dynamics in terms of secondary portfolio, the mix of products that you have, what you expect from your salespeople, and all the comp plans are going to look a little different. So heads up as those start to unroll. Also, today, applications as of today, you're supposed to be using a new truth in lending disclosure. For our mortgages, it's really going to look different. It's going to show worst-case scenarios. So, sales folks, make sure you're ready to explain the new look of this form. The other piece that we're watching, and is, yes, it's January 31st, and the NMLS is open for business for the banks. So if you go to the National Mortgage Licensing System, go to the NMLS Resource Center, the banks and depositories now can go in and register as an entity and start having their originators get themselves through the fingerprint and background process. For those of you who may not be aware, the bank group will not have to pass a test. You don't have to take education, but they will have background check run have to be able to at least be registered. So they're going to be termed registered. So that's the biggest stuff that we're watching right now. Is now, and another big heads up, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about later in the program, is, you know, the countdown is on. You're down to 28 days to get your HMDA report ready. So for those of you who make loan decisions, that report is due March 1st, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
We are definitely going to get into that with our guests on a regular basis, and there's just so much that come out. By the way, a lot of people email me, Alice, saying, there is so much information Alice is reporting. How can I get a copy of it? So, folks, you're right. You got a pen and paper. We have simplified this process. All you have to remember, obviously, you're going and listening to the radio program, so you're familiar with the name Lick It On Lending. Go to that website, www.lickitonlending. At the top of that website, it's the Blog Talk Radio, which we thank the folks at Blog Talk for making all this technology possible. They're the ones that bring it to us, allow us to bring this to you each and every week. But at that website, at the top, you're going to see a banner. You're going to see the three primary companies that are putting this on, MBS, Mortgage U, and MBS Quote Line. If you click on that upper banner, not the ads on the side, but that banner, it's going to take you immediately into our website, our business website, under the radio button. It takes you right in there. You're not going to have to read anything about the rest of the stuff if you want to get right to Alice. Scroll down. It's the second item. You click on that, or scroll down, you'll see Mortgage U, her logo, Alice's logo, and if you click for more information on this week's legislative update, click here. You highlight, as you roll over the click here, it'll bring you right into Alice's website. Her notes from the program are up there. This goes right into her website. That's related to the radio program, and you will be able to write down and get all the information. You can even listen to just that segment in there, if I'm not mistaken, Alice. So Drew has done a great job of bringing that up. Our producer that produces this is also works with Alice and has got all this wired together. We've been working feverishly to get all this up there. A great wealth of information there. So, Alice, thank you very much. You want anything to add to that, Alice? Have you kind of put everything in there? Is it pretty much all there?
Yeah, I think we're still finalizing getting my notes up. Clearly, we have them in our legislative information in our My Mortgage U space. And from last week, I am working on a chart that we'll be posting shortly that helps brokers identify the information they're going to have on their NMLS call reports. So I guess I just want to give everybody a heads up on the, you know, all across the board. Start collecting your data. Make sure you understand what your call report is going to be for the NMLS, because you're going to have it available for the first quarter, within 45 days as the end of the calendar quarter.
We mentioned that in the webinar Andy and I did with the accounting webinar that we're doing. We're doing the third in the series of accounting webinars through the Campus MBA. We mentioned that. You wouldn't believe some of the feedback we got on that.
I know. You start hearing crickets. You hear the tension in the room, and you hear people leaving, like, to go race and tell. Did somebody know we have to file this report?
That's exactly right. It's like, what the heck is that? By the way, also, Joe Farr's comments are in there. We have a link to Joe's site. You can go out and see MBS Quote Line's information, his comments about the day, and they got all their market updates. Thank you so much, Alice. Appreciate it.
You're
folks,
welcome.
We'll be right back.
after this
brief
break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality trainings throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us each and every week on this. And by the way, we have the report coming from the Future Mortgage Leaders Group. We have Dita Lack and Jamie Corris that are part of that group bringing us a report. We're going into much more in-depth about all of that here in just a few minutes. But first, as we do each and every week, we have the doctor is in the house, the Profit Doctor, that is, also known as Andy Schell. And if you want to go in and get more information about the webinar we talked about with Campus MBA, go again to Lickin' on Lending, www.lickinonlending.com, easy for me to say, and you'll see the ad for that. You click right into it. It'll take you how to register for these very, very formative this very informative webinar. I encourage you. But without further ado, Profit Doctor, what you got for us today?
Well, hey, Dave, you know, I was listening to Alice talk about the NMLS system, and that kind of reminds me, being a little bit dyslexic, that, you know, NML is LMN backwards.
Yeah.
And it's got the alphabet mixed around there a little bit.
I didn't even think about it, but knowing you being the analyst that you are, you would see that. I
well,
tongue-tie
you know,
that one up all the time. Anyway, so what do you
got to be able to find it? Well, Dave, as you know, my kids are almost all grown now, but when they were teenagers and learning to drive, we had conditions that they had to meet before they could get the car. Now, these conditions were fairly simple, but they had to follow the rules of the house and they had to follow the rules of the road. As long as they did that, they could drive. So the reality my teenagers had to grasp is that driving is a privilege, is not a right.
Oh,
and I know you've got a teenage daughter, so there's always
on it.
You know, they think it's a right, but it's not a right, it's a privilege. And so they had to earn the privilege to drive. And as long as they followed the rules, they could drive. If they didn't follow the rules, then they couldn't drive. So this became a very predictable kind of binary event that follow the rules, you'd get the car. Don't follow the rules, you don't get the car. So we have something similar in business. In business, we have rules we've got to follow. You know, like it or not, we've got rules for mortgage lending that keep changing, that Alice keeps updating us about. And there's rules for accounting that we have to follow. Now, these accounting rules drive to the core of the activity that tracks business events. And it's very much the language of business. Accounting is how people learn about the results of a company's activity and the stability of the company. One of the rules that we all have to follow is having good financial reports. And when we say good financial reports, we mean detailed and timely. And timely means, you know, for the most part, by the 15th of the month. And in mortgage banking, we all know that mortgage banks must have a warehouse line to fund a loan. So said the other way, without a warehouse line lender, we as a mortgage bank, we don't have any money, we're out of business. If we don't have a warehouse line loan, we're out of business. And all of these warehouse line lenders have rules of the road for mortgage banks that we must follow in order to be able to get the warehouse line loan from the bank. So one of those rules that a mortgage lender must follow is timely and complete financial statements, and they're called interim financial statements. The same thing with the NMLS. If we have to start making those reports, we're going to have to give them complete and timely financial statements. So interim financial statements, people talk about interim financial statements. Interim financial statements are just financial statements that are produced by the mortgage bank's accounting department for every month, by month, until we get the CPA report at the end of the year. But month over month, the mortgage bank's financial statements are the interim financial statements that come out that warehouse line lenders are going to look at. Now, to get the money from the warehouse banks, they require that we prepare for them good financial statements. So it might sound simple, but really the details of the accounting rules to get the warehouse line lenders the information they require is actually more complicated than some may expect. So I'm going to touch on just a couple of the points, because the last thing we want to have happen is someone not get a warehouse line or lose a warehouse line because they didn't get their financials done right. And this is becoming more and more of a focus that we're seeing all across the country with the NMLS issues and everyone else. So it's important to get the financials of the warehouse line, because a warehouse line is a privilege. It's not a right, and without it, we go out of business. So here are a couple of items.
Great parallel, by the way.
No, well, thank you very much. So here's a couple of things we have to get. In our financials, we have revenue and expense. We need to track the details of the revenue and expense items in our business. It sounds basic. You buy a box of paper clips, you report it as an office supply expense. Well, in mortgage banking, all the items from the closing statement should be captured in the financial statements, in the income statement, or in the balance sheet as each separate item goes in there. And when a loan is sold, every item from that loan sale needs to be captured in separate accounts. You know, like origination fee income goes in origination income, and interest income from the time we close the loan until the loan is sold and we've earned interest, that goes on a separate line called interest income. And if we broker out some loans, then we have a broker fee that we're going to recognize as a separate line. Gain on sale, separate line. So all these things should be separate lines in the income statement, not all bunched together in one account. Just one item. I saw a financial statement recently that had two lines for revenue, and that was it. Makes it very difficult.
A little bit basic.
Yeah. Well, it makes it very difficult for the warehouse line lender to know if your business is on track if you don't capture the details right. Now, here's another important thing people need to remember about their financial statements when they get these to the warehouse line lenders. On the balance sheet, every loan that's closed should be put in an asset account called loans held for sale, and there should also be an entry for the liability that shows the warehouse line liability for every loan that's funded from each of the various warehouse line lenders. And, you know, Dave, as we've gone through our webinar, we've gone into some of the detail, and actually tomorrow in our webinar, we're going into great, very fine detail about this very topic. So then when a loan is sold, we're going to clear out the accounts, and we're going to, when we sell it, we're going to look to see who gets the first payment. Do we, as the lender, the originating lender, get the first payment, or is the investor? And, oh, by the way, just as a side note, if during 2010 you received a payment, a first payment from a customer, you have to give the customer and the IRS a 1098. And you know when those are due by? Today.
Yep.
January 31st. Got to report those 1098.
Hopefully that didn't bring cold sweats to anybody.
You know, it's like Alice is going to, we're going to talk more about HMDA. You got to get your reports in. So one other quick point about the balance sheet. Well, really, two other really quick points. But this is important because the balance sheet information needs to be right, because the warehouse line lender is going to look at it, and it's a reflection of how you do your business. If your balance sheet's a mess, then the reasonable conclusion is, well, your business is a mess. So here's the next point. At month end, all the loans that you've closed that have not yet been purchased by the investor, so at month end, all the loans that are still on your books should be in the loans held for sale account, and there should be a warehouse line loan liability on your books for each of the separate warehouse line lenders. Now, here's the part that's a little bit tricky, or just people need to remember. If you have a purchase-repurchase warehouse line agreement with your warehouse line lender, that loan from the warehouse bank should be on your books. Even though it's a purchase-repurchase, the Financial Accounting Standards Board has specifically indicated that a forward repurchase agreement does not qualify for sale treatment. So in other words, it's not really a sale, which means the mortgage bank must report the warehouse loan and the loans held for sale on their balance sheet. The FDIC has actually confirmed this position as well, and because otherwise they're supporting off-balance sheet financing, because a purchase-repurchase facility that is not reflected on the mortgage company's balance sheet is just like a special purpose corporation that Enron used that caused the whole Sarbanes-Oxley issue. So off-balance sheet financing is very difficult to pull off, and for mortgage banks, generally speaking, almost universally, if you've got a purchase or repurchase facility, those loans should be on the mortgage company's books at month end, and they should tie perfectly to the warehouse report that shows the balance of the warehouse line outstanding. Now, the other real quick point is for the balance sheet, when you close a loan, you're going to be collecting from the customer, if they have an escrow account, impounds for taxes and insurance. At month end, those monies that you've collected from the customer, even if you net funded it, if they brought money in that you're holding for them, that's ultimately going to go to the investor when the loan's purchased, those are fiduciary funds. They're not your money. It's the customer's money you're holding for them until you pay taxes or insurance. So that money has to be on your balance sheet as a separate liability, and it actually is supposed to be in a separate cash account. So it gets complicated. Don't underestimate this stuff. Do it right the first time. Get your financials tuned up, based it on loan level detail, get correctly structured financial statements, and produce them timely, which in our world is by the 15th of the month. So, you know, Dave, just like driving a car is a privilege and having a warehouse line is a privilege, get your financials done right so you continue to earn the privilege of having a warehouse line. Otherwise,
you know what,
it's a consequence.
It's good, Prophet Doctor. Give us all those tips. And there's a lot of detailed information in there, and we're going to have those details up. And by the way, many people have asked, several people have asked, how can I get to be a part of this webinar? If you go to www.lickinandlending.com, you can click on the ad. It's a nice green ad right there off to the right-hand side. It says everything you always need to know about mortgage accounting but were afraid to ask or didn't know to ask. Go in there, click on that. It'll bring you right to the Campus MBA website where you can go and register. It'll allow you to get into it. Again, we are in the part three of a five-part series, and we're doing it tomorrow at noon. It just clicks right on through. In fact, you'll go into our website, and it'll actually show you how you can click register now. It'll go right there. We have folks from all over the country listening today, and we appreciate so many of you. I'm looking at the listener panel. We've got folks from literally all over the country listening. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, thank you so much for the many of you that are listening from across the country. Be sure to tell others about it. Tell your association when you go there about this program. We appreciate you passing the word around. This week, we are going into, again, in more in depth about the Future Mortgage Leaders Report that came forth or that was presented at the MBA conference in Atlanta, the National NBA Conference. We had so many people that were in and or gave us feedback about this, and I had heard about it from one of our sponsors, Ralph Armenta at PMI, and he said, "Dave, have you seen this report? It's excellent material." So the good news is we had them on the program back in December 6th. It was a brief. We covered the whole report, and we got a lot of feedback that says, you know what, folks, there is so much data there. Dive into it deeper, please. So that's what we're doing. If you go listen to previous broadcasts, you'll hear what we talked about from the report last week, which had to do with capitalization. And this week, we're diving into more of operations and controls on our guests to be the guests today. With us were a part of the FML, the Future Mortgage Leaders Group, is Dina Lack, who's Vice President of Wholesale Support of Wells Fargo, and Jamie Corris, Alliance Financial Resources in Phoenix. And so we're real excited about this. Dina's the one that's going to actually go into depth about the report. Jamie's going to comment as an independent mortgage banker and get into some of the perspective on that. Dina's background, again, is channel technology, vendor relationships, technology. So he has a real solid background in technology, and he's all about process reengineering, lean manufacturing, e-lending. So we got a great resource here with Dino. Welcome, Jamie and Dino, to the program. Good to have you both here.
Thanks, Dave.
It's always
Thanks
good
lot,
to know
Dave.
That you're good. Both mics are on. We're good to go. It's always a warm and fuzzy when you're doing a hosting program. Dino, one of the first things I want to get into is independent mortgage bankers primarily use technology systems for data entry and delivery. Is the extent of how successful an independent mortgage banker is based on the technology they're using today?
It's such a great question, Dave. From our perspective, and, you know, we study this a lot, but essentially we think that successful IMBs, you know, that are either today successful or going to be successful in the future, they implement several solutions together to put technology to work for them. Too many folks are working for their technology versus technology actually doing the work that they'd like it to do. And, some of the basic tenets of a well-aligned solution are basically input data once, not several times. ADV, and we can talk about that more later, but, you know, automatic data verification or validation through manual outsourcing or through real-time data authentication. You know, administration of the process through system-controlled BPM, another sexy little acronym, right, but business process management. Allow many tasks and checks to be automatically completed by the system itself, God forbid, right? And then, you know, no system silos, so don't be having systems. It's, you know, tough. We try to get our kids, I think, you know, as, you know, Andy and folks were talking about earlier on the call is, you know, what are we trying to teach our kids and try to teach our kids to share? We need to teach our systems to share, too. So
that's great point. By the way, IMB, the independent mortgage bankers. So you can hear us refer to IMBs. With that term, we're making sure our listeners understand we're talking about independent mortgage bankers. Very good. Very, very good. Andy?
Yeah, Dave. Well, hey, Dino, thanks for joining the call today. It's great to have you here. I love technology. I love better, faster, quicker. I really appreciate the whole lean thing. And in mortgage banking with the various origination systems that are out there, in your opinion, this is kind of a two-part question. Do you think that there really is a one-size-fits-all system where the independent mortgage banker can expect to go and just buy one single software application that does everything that they need to do?
So I think the quick answer is no. I don't mean to offend any vendors out there. I think a lot of people are trying and have tried to go that route and bought the one solution that's like an 80% match, right? But I think honestly, you need to think wider than that and think in more componentized fashion. Once again, the sharing mechanism works for vendors as well. Those that can integrate together and work together and allow the particular IMB to choose the system or suite of systems that best fit their needs, that's the way everybody should go today.
I'd love to get Jamie's thoughts on this. Hey, Jamie, I know you have, when I was out there in your offices last week, and it was great being with you and your partners in business there, I was going to slip over to partners in crime, but you guys do such a great job. There's nothing criminal about what you're doing. You do a great job for your customers. But let's talk about your technology, because you've made a couple changes and adjustments in technology. Shed some light on Dino's comments and what you guys reported as a group, as the Future Mortgage Leaders Group.
Sure, Dave. We have recently changed. We had our front end LOS And then we had purchased a back-end system to help streamline everything. And what we found was that we were spending a great deal of time and ultimately extra expense on personnel trying to shore up the data integrity. No matter what solutions in the interim we tried to move and transport data from one system to the other, it wasn't a perfect or seamless. So
they don't all play well in each other's sandbox is what you're saying.
No, they don't. So we ended up moving to a one system, end-to-end system, and I support what Dino says, that it's not a 100%. Most of the systems still do lack a good portion of the financial component. However, there's a lot better data integrity, and then you can do your uploads or downloads of data straight from your mortgage piece directly into your finance or accounting piece, and that seems to be a lot more profitable and a lot more inherent true data.
That's really a good point. Alice has got her hand up and has a question. I think it's focused towards you, Dino.
Yeah, well, Dino, could you please explain to our listeners, what you all were finding and your positions on automated data verification? Because there's so many things there where people have to leave their LOS and go for employment verification or go for fraud verification and then kind of jump back. What are your thoughts on trying to integrate those third-party vendors or how that fits into this efficiency model?
Yeah, that's a great question, Allison. I think this isn't a new concept. People have been talking about this since the 90s, maybe even
right.
the 80s, but it's the timing. Yeah, exactly, MSMO. MSMO is a great concept, like communism, right? But the idea there would be so I think from, where Jamie's at, let's say, with her system that's, the 80% solution, I'll just use that as an example, and I followed kind of Jamie's movement from system to system, and she's doing a fantastic thing for her organization, which with where it's at and its life cycle and such, and as it's definitely been growing with Jamie at the helm. But I think your point about how do these fit in and how do you keep from having the data silos and such. So just now, just within the last year and a half, I've been kind of watching certain vendors have actually started to build what I call those DVM frameworks in the industry, which means the LOS that, let's say, Jamie has is able to do what it does best, which is the core originations process. But then when it needs to plug and play into getting a VOE or potentially, I think as you talked about earlier, the NMLS component, the NMLS CSBS folks, right, they don't currently have an integratable component, but they're bringing one later this year. So the thought would be your LOS would reach out and make this data call through the framework and would tap against that data set and come back again and in real time saying that, yes, especially for the lenders out there, that, yes, that person that's the LO on this loan is appropriately licensed in that state, right? So just trying to connect some dots. I don't know if is that a good answer to your question? Or?
Yeah, I think you're bringing up more of it's all these different services that are out there are great, but we a lot of times it's a plug and play solution.
Correct.
To get them to work.
Yeah, and VOE seems like the easiest thing in the world, right? That so there's verification of employment. Are they actually still working? Usually a lot of times folks have that within 10 days of close as well as during the underwriting process. And mm-hmm. if it's not within the 10-day window, a lot of times lenders will do the check twice. The challenge is, or the opportunity is, that only about the best vendor out there probably has about 20% real-time transaction that you go in to get a loan and I want to validate that you're employed. It's a 1 out of 5 hit. The other 4 out of 5, are going to take a day or so to come back with a response because somebody's making a manual call out. So, like I said, the industry is still in varying degrees of maturity depending on which particular capability that you're talking about.
You know what? One of the things is there's so many acronyms out there, Dino. You work with this. I think it's so important to try to keep it as simple as possible as we're talking to our audience. You do a great job, but especially ADV, I was looking at some of the notes on there and I'm going, it's really important that we understand these concepts. And for those of you that get caught up in the terminology that we use in this industry. I'm sure there's other industries, the medical industry for sure, the aviation industry, all use a lot of these initials. And so I appreciate you breaking that down for us and helping make it as simple as we possibly can. Folks, we'll be back just a minute after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Good to have you back. This is Dave Lickin with Lickin & Lending. We have our special guest today, Dino Lack with Wells Fargo. But he's representing the Future Mortgage Leaders Group, as well as Jamie Corris, who's president and CEO of Alliance Financial Resources in Phoenix, Arizona, both of which were a part of that group. And we're getting into a real good discussion about what some of the controls, the operational controls that are needed. Andy, I know you all, one of your favorite topics is ROI, return on investment. I'm sure you got a couple of questions regarding that.
Well, absolutely. You know, Dino, as you know, I'm the CPA CFO ROI guy. Just if we're going to use ADVs and LOS acronyms, we might as well use those as well. So,
oh, we kill each other with those.
Yeah, when we're talking about an IMB, what kind of ROI should we expect? No, I'm just kidding. When
you're
it was funny the first time, not the second time. You know, but I really am all I really am all about return on investment. It's really, really important, whether if it's a paperclip or a technology investment. And so I'm interested from your perspective to hear your perspective for when an independent mortgage banker is looking to get the best ROI on their technology investment, where do they go? What do they do?
Another good question there. So I, from my perspective, there's all shapes and sizes here, and everybody's at different levels of maturity with their systems and their process. But just to start with some fundamentals, you have to know what your process is. And I think people will, yeah, I know what that is. But do you really know, if you're Jamie
yeah.
and you're running your organization, do you know how a loan goes from point A or an app goes from point A to point Z and gets funded and where it has opportunities for fallout or friction or inertia and things like that? And that's kind of a process understanding. And first of all, before you change it, anything, you should know how that flow works. The second thing, so that's a certain amount of process documentation that you need to really collect and take the time to pull together. The second thing is really around reporting, and I think you were kind of hitting on that earlier. I get this stupid little thing I always tell teams that work for me, and it's give the right information to the right person at the right time to make the right decision.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
It sounds simple, right? But you really have to get into their head about you want their data report. For most managers, it's like the Wall Street Journal. I want to give them an automatically generated 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever their time is that they get up, they look at it, and then they go out and manage their business because their head's loaded up with all that information. I tend to, probably like you, think about people more like being a computer than a person these days, but it's really about loading up their head with that. So ROI second for me is, you know, it's reporting. It's often overlooked, and you need to have the right key metrics on that report so that they understand how their business is functioning and flowing and whether or not they have problems, et cetera. And then I think the third thing is ADV, which we talked about, which is, once again, automated data verification.
Thank
now,
you.
You'll hear it also called DVM, Data Validated Mortgage, but that framework that they're building is not germane to just the mortgage industry. That framework can also be used for credit and, you know, card transactions as well as other types of financial transactions.
That is good. One of the things that we talk about is the ROI, and I'd like to ask Jamie, do you really feel that you're getting a decent measurable ROI out of your technology, Jamie?
I do, and you know, there's certainly some things to consider before making that end-to-end purchase solution. You know, some of them have the doc sets already written into the programming, and some you have to outsource that to another company. And if you have one that it encompasses all of the various different things that you need, I think your return is much greater. On that note, before entering into any venture such as that, I would really take some time to look at what interfaces it does offer. You may have some critical decisions to make regarding which credit agency or credit bureau system that you're using to access credit if you're using a hedging company. Not to say that there's not workarounds, but if you're buying this solution to make everything easier and the data integrity stronger, you don't want to purchase an end-to-end solution that does not offer the interfaces with your current providers, where you may have to cancel contracts or, you know, do various different things, which may end up increasing your costs, at least in the short term. So there's definitely a lot to take into consideration.
That's so point. You know, Joe, you've been awfully quiet there in the background, and I know you actually provide a technology solution through MBS QuoteLine. What thoughts do you have on all this discussion?
Well, this goes back to my days of opening and closing branches at, you know, as a mortgage company, and the thought about changing software vendors, et cetera. And we always struggled with the idea that a vendor provided a standard set of you know, decisions, and should you use their standard set of decisions to roll into your operations, or should you ask that vendor to change those standard set of decisions to make the software be the way you want it to operate? And so which is the better way to go? Is it to make it do what you want it to do your way, or to kind of accommodate your way with what the way the software best works?
Jamie, you want to take that one?
I would say maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I think that you don't want to disrupt your workflow greatly as an organization if it works. However, I think some of those with the software, it can align your workflow to work a little bit more appropriately. So I think that there's a combination of both, and it seems that most of the softwares out there are sort of open up the box and then create based on whether you're stronger in wholesale or retail, or the workflow and the types of loans that you produce sometimes dictate a little bit more about how you use that software. And so I think it's definitely a combination of both.
Good point. Alice, you got your hand up.
Oh, well, I was just simply, you know, as you kind of look at technology and the solutions, and Joe, to what you were saying, you know, the idea that is technology the driver of my process? You know, I was just going to say some people just have a lousy process and they need to pay attention to it.
Right? Great point.
With you, Jamie. It's, you know, you got to look at if I'm doing some things right, but I have to look at the ideas that technology brings. So are technologies really, is that the main focus an independent mortgage banker should be looking at to survive in 2011? There's a lot more out there, I would assume.
There's a lot more out there, but I think it's a very strong piece. And I think that, you know, Dave, you may recognize this as well, going in consulting and speaking with a number of different bankers. The technology piece is moving up there in that organizational chart. And it's no longer, I think, just on the back burner and as, oh, this is something that's necessary, but we don't need to focus on it. I think that it's much more of a focus to be profitable and to be efficient. It is one of the main tenets of a successful business now.
Good. Dina, you were starting. That's good feedback. Dina, you were jumping in with a comment as she started speaking there.
Yeah, it's probably funny to hear this from the technologists in the room, but I mean, I don't think it should ever be more than 50-50, right? And I think that's what Jamie and I are both saying, is that you have to know your process, back to what I had described earlier. Know your process first. Who are you, you know, as an organization? Where do you fit in the maturity level, and, you know, what's going to be best for you? But part of your foundation has to be a strong, flexible and extensible technology backbone, so that you can move that you should be able to build off of.
That is such a good point. I want to thank both of you for being a part of this. Again, that report was just excellent, what you had done. If you folks, listeners, if you're wanting to get a copy of the Future Mortgage Leaders report that was done, email us. We'll find a way of getting you a copy either through the MBA or through one of these folks. Give it. We'd love to have provide this for you. I encourage you to read it. It was probably one of the most well-written, talked about presentations there at the MBA this last October, and it's relevant to today. Saying, well, yeah, it's old news. No, it's not. very current to what we got and experienced. Jamie and Dino, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast, and we're going to be continue this discussion next week as we get in talking about specific issues and challenges. I think Jamie will be back with us as a guest. Dino brought us this, and Ken brought us another report the week before. Get on, download those really, really valuable the valuable information. So, again, thank you, Dino and Jamie. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, each and every week we're talking about, you know, it's actually quite timely that we'd be talking about technology in this as one of the controls that you have, as we have the voice of technology for the mortgage industry with us on the line, and he'll be a part of our broadcast each and every week, bringing us a tech update. Tony Garitano, good to have you again on the program. We're so excited to have you bring us an update. What's going on out there in the world of technology?
Well, Dave, it's good to be back this week. We talked a little bit about social media and LinkedIn last week in particular, and I wanted to bring to your readers' attention before I share with you some very encouraging numbers that if they want to read more about what you're doing in terms of bringing LO compensation best practices to the market through LinkedIn, Progress in Lending is going to be running your article on your experiences this Wednesday on our website, progressinlending.com. So they should check that out in tomorrow's Mortgage Executives February edition if they're interested. I thought it was a really good job on your part, Dave, and we were happy to publish it.
I'm glad. I appreciate that. Glad to do it.
No problem. Thank you for doing it. And the numbers that I wanted to share were those that I got from my friend Jeff Lebowitz at MoreTech. And he said that, according to his numbers, tech spending is going to be increasing by 15% this year as compared to last year. And I thought that that was very encouraging as someone who has been talking about technology for 10 years. And listening to your lender guest just a few minutes ago, Dave, it really struck me as interesting to hear them openly admit that they're willing to rethink their processes because the technology vendors may get it right in some cases, and they may get it wrong. That was never the case. I mean, everybody wanted a technology that they could tailor to their own needs and their own business processes. So I think that as lenders come to the realization that they need to lean more on technology, they're spending more this year. And as we go forward in this section, anyway, through the technology update on Lincoln on Lending, I want to talk to your readers and listeners a little bit about how they can combine technology and business strategies in really positive ways that hopefully will improve their process.
That is excellent, Tony. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Again, for those that want to get your blog, how can they get it? What's your website again?
Again, it's progressinlending.com, and all of the content is completely free, so check us out.
That's good stuff. You guys will definitely want to download and also catch the major publication he has each month. Give that information. I think it's all on your website, but if you give that one more time as well.
Sure. Our monthly publication is tomorrow's Mortgage Executive Magazine. You can access it, again, free of charge on progressinlending.com homepage, or you can go to progressinlending.com/magazine.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Appreciate it so much. Folks, we have listeners listening in to us, and we want to say thank you so much. We got folks from Orange County, Santa Clara County, California, Southfield, Michigan, Orlando, Florida, Southeast Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Northern Florida, Kansas City, all over the Northeast. Thank you so much. We appreciate you and continue to call in. There's some call-in features that are on the website. I encourage you to go there and do that. My producer's putting up some great news, and we say thank you. Or some notes up here for me to read, make sure we get out to you all. Next week, we've got the Future Mortgage Leaders program continuing. We're going to be talking about, again, issues and challenges facing the industry. A special note goes out to the guy that has the impossible task of trying to keep me on track and on time. Drew, Andy, also known as Andy Alvey, does a great job. We want to say thank you so much, Andy, for your production of the broadcast and all that you do to make sure we stay in target. Folks, thank you so much. Remember to go out to the website, Lincoln on Lending, www.lincolnonlending.com. Give us your feedback. There's a feedback button there. I'd love to hear from you. Again, if you want this report that we're talking about in this series, call us. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to talking to you next week.
has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.